Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by Virginia head coach Tony Bennett. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Untuck It. Hey guys, it's never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. You may think it looks casual, but more than likely, it just ends up looking sloppy. That's why Untuck It makes shirts specifically designed to be worn untucked. Untuck It shirts are a go-to for any occasion from casual to dressy, and not only do they look good, they feel great. Log on to untuckit.com and check out all the new arrivals. Stop hiding your shirt with your pants and your pants with your shirt. Untuckit.com, your solution to perfecting casual. Use promo code HOOPS for 20% savings for first-time customers. That's promo code HOOPS for first-time customers to receive 20% off. You can also visit one of Untuckit's over 25 retail locations across the country. So now that we've got you set for all your Untuck It needs. Again, we're going to be joined by Virginia head coach Tony Bennett in just a couple minutes. But as college basketball season now is officially a week or so away from the official start of practice, which is 6 weeks away from the first game, you get into a situation where before practice starts, coaches are flying all over the country and focusing on recruiting. And recruiting is obviously, to me, the appetizer before the college basketball season as we get ready for an entree of epic proportions on November the 6th with the Champions Classic being Kansas against Michigan State and Kentucky against Duke. And fall commitments are obviously part of the college basketball calendar. But to me, last week represented a significant moment in the college basketball landscape. Nico Mannion, a five-star prospect in the 2019 class, committed to Arizona on Friday. And to me, it was a major, major coup for Sean Miller in Arizona. Here's why. Despite everything that's happened with Arizona's program in the last 12 months, Arizona has still landed two top 50 guards since May, Nico Mannion and Brandon Williams. And looking at things right now, I am expecting a bridge year during the upcoming season for Arizona. You don't have vintage Arizona talent. You have a roster more aligned and more similar to what Sean Miller had when he was the head coach at Xavier. But because Sean Miller's the head coach, you have a situation where I think Arizona will compete for an NCAA tournament berth. But now I look ahead to the 1920 season, and I see an Arizona team that, again, even if they didn't add another piece, which they will, they're still involved, obviously, with several good players in recruiting. If they didn't add another piece, you could have a starting lineup in 1920 of Brandon Williams, top 50 player, Nico Mannion, who, again, is a five-star recruit, a potential one-and-done player, Brandon Randolph or Emmanuel Acott at the three, two top 50 kids who I think will take major steps forward this year as sophomores. Ira Lee at the four, or you could play small with Acott, or you could play Chase Jeter, the Duke transfer, at the five. That, to me, looks like a vintage Arizona team based on talent when you think about where these kids were recruited out of high school. Now, the upcoming season for Sean Miller is going to be unlike anything he's had since maybe his first year or two in Tucson, because Arizona had to go to the grad transfer market. They had to get a guy like Ryan Luther from Pitt. They had to get a guy like Justin Coleman from Samford to bridge the gap, to be in a situation where not only did they have to replace five starters from last year's team that won the Pac-12 regular season tournament title, they also had to find a way to keep their program afloat after being mentioned in the FBI scandal, which cost an assistant coach his job, and also had to deal with being associated with that ESPN report that never came to fruition and never altered the top of the Arizona basketball program, and that's Sean Miller. But all those things considered, I think you're looking at an Arizona program right now that in 1920, even if they didn't add another piece, has the requisites to be a team that could win the Pac-12 and be a top 10 or 15 team in America. I think that, to me, signals that the death and the extinction of Arizona basketball was vastly, vastly overrated. They obviously had a brutal 12-month stretch. They lost an assistant coach. They had to deal with everything that went on with that ESPN report and the association with DeAndre Ayton. But after surviving all that, considering where this program was on March the 1st, Arizona basketball looks in good shape moving forward. It will be, and I know this from talking to Sean Miller during the summer, an adjustment for them and an adjustment for their fans to not necessarily be in the top third of the Pac-12. If Arizona gets to the top third in the Pac-12 this year, it could be pound for pound, inch for inch, Sean Miller's best coaching job. Another guy that's done plenty of elite coaching jobs and did one last year, even though he didn't have the ending that he wanted, was Tony Bennett, the head coach of Virginia. And the head coach of the Cavaliers joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Virginia has been a number one seed in three of the last five NCAA tournaments. They were the ACC regular season and tournament champion a year ago. And the head coach of the Cavaliers is Tony Bennett. And he joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Coach, before we get to basketball, it is well known and well documented that you are a fan of 90s hip hop. So we're going to start with a two-part question. What's been the latest thing on the Tony Bennett hip hop mix? And have you transitioned to Spotify yet?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give some people some new stuff, or at least for you. There's a guy named Kevin Garrett, G-A-R-E-T. Yeah, I don't know if it's double T or not. Really good. Really smooth. He's not 90s. He's just put him on Spotify or Pandora. He's really good. I've been listening to a guy named NF. He's kind of mainstream. He's got a little bit of R&B rap to him. I think he's really good. And then a lady named Lauren Daigle. I'm ready. See, those, actually, I've been running a lot, and those are the ones I've been putting on my iPhone. I like all three of those. But you can never go wrong with Boyz II Men or New Edition if we want to go back a little further.
See, that's the thing. You know, you're such, you know, a low-key guy. People don't know that there's a pop culture aspect to conversations with you as well, and that's why I'm going to transition right now to something that's the elephant in the room, and that's the trailer for Creed II. Your initial thoughts after seeing it.
You know what? I haven't seen it yet, so I don't. When is it supposed to come out? Because you know I love Rocky.
It came out over the summer. I texted it to you.
No. Okay. But when's the movie supposed to show?
The movie is supposed to come out, I believe, in Thanksgiving time for the holidays.
Yeah. No, you did. You know what? This is terrible. I don't know if I watched the trailer. That's my bad. But when I saw the movie wasn't coming out right away, I got to know right away, and I want to go to the movie because I think that's going to be. That's going to be good because the first one, that's a common ground when I talk to recruits at all. When I ask them, what kind of movies you like, because I love talking music and movies, usually Creed is, for the younger generation and our generation up there, is one of the best.
No, it definitely is. And your program's been one of the best the last half decade in college basketball. I'm curious, considering the way last season ended, have you ever anticipated the start of a year more than the one you're about to begin in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. And how we went out, there's stuff you certainly have to deal with that, and there's motivation from it to really use it to obviously be driven to improve, and obviously you're going to have to address things. It'll be brought up a lot. It'll be thrown in our face. We understand all of that. And again, I think there's incredible wisdom in that loss, and I think you got to take some stuff from it. Not, as I've mentioned before, not overanalyze it to death, but not underanalyze it. And just like, I'd really say the same, just about the incredible success we had last year. You want to think, okay, why were we so successful? What was it? But you don't want to stay there forever because, you know, the start of each new year is just that. You start over. Everybody starts over, whether you're so successful or not successful. And that's there, but certainly looking forward to it. A new team, always looking at how the guys respond, how they've improved, and replacing some key guys with some new faces.
You know, Tony, I thought the way you spoke after losing that game was one of your finest moments, and I felt the same thing when you lost to Syracuse a couple of years prior in the Elite Eight. How has somebody who has become one of college basketball's top winners become such a gracious person in defeat?
Probably because I've lost a lot. No, I think what I'd say, my honest answer is, and this may, I don't know, it won't, maybe it will surprise people, maybe it won't, they might agree, is, you know, I think when you get close, that was so hard against Syracuse. We were right on the doorstep of the Final Four, didn't get there. And that only motivates you to go after it harder. Then, you know, we had such a great year and then got beat, being the first team to lose to UMBC. It really motivates you and drives you to say, okay, that's going to be used hopefully for something great. So that part is what it is, John. But the other part that people maybe don't quite understand, and this is one I've had to come to peace with, and I really have, is, look, I want to win a national championship as much as anybody. I do, and we're driven, and all these experiences I hope are adding to why one day it can happen. But the great truth I know is, if it never does, if I can't get there, or if we fail, I'll still be okay. And there's great power or enlightenment in that, because I've had some hard things happen, and I know there's going to be worse things in life. And I think if you can stand in there and say it, or put it this way, experience it and get through it and know you still have joy, you still got your family, there's still things that I think enables you or frees you up to go after it even harder, but also live with the results, whether they're your dream come true, professionally speaking, or you never get to it. And I think that's, if you want to know the key, that's, to me, in my opinion, it. And that stems from, obviously, my faith, the relationship with my family, and then all those things. And adversity kind of defines you, or it teaches you what you're really about.
Well, you know, Tony, in doing this job now for a long time, you know, there are certain coaches who just are ate up when they have great programs and don't get to a Final Four to advance to the third weekend. I remember doing an interview with Jim Calhoun, and he was talking about how he had so many great teams at UConn, and it always felt like he kept getting to the Elite Eight and he couldn't get through. Are you at the point where you feel like, you know, you've done so much in the ACC that you feel like you're seething to get to a Final Four?
Absolutely, I'd love to. Oh, no, there's no question. I'm so hopeful that I get to experience that, because I've done it with my father's staff at Wisconsin, and it's such a joy. And, you know, that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament. The one and done brings such drama and excitement. And, you know, there's the regular season and the long haul and the over the course of it that is great reward in and of itself. But it's the way we've marketed it, March Madness, and the excitement with it. Of course, that's kind of become what's next for I think our program, and that doesn't assume you still got to have a great regular season. You still got to be good, and just because if we never got there, if we had a great regular, there's still going to be rewards and excitement and all that. But absolutely, that's a great desire of mine as a coach and for this program, and that will just motivate. But it has to be in the right way. I'm as hungry as I said there, but if it becomes too much, I think that can affect your performance.
Virginia head coach Tony Bennett joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Do you teach your players more about life when you're on a ladder at the Barclays Center cutting down the nets after winning the ACC tournament, or when you're in the locker room dealing with what you dealt with after losing to UMBC?
All within about a 5 or 6 day span, mind you. That was, you talk about, you know, that. I think both, how you handle success with, you know, you enjoy it. You really do. You drink deeply and enjoy it. And then how you handle the same thing, failure, you learn from it, you grow from it. Everybody, I think the buzzword is a growth mindset or grit, but there's no question. I think they both have incredible wisdom, and it's really, it's not even enduring. It's how you respond to it. That's where, you know, that's where you find out, okay, how are we dealing with it? But I think one's obviously a lot harder to deal with, but one may produce greater fruit or reward in your life long range with perspective and things than perhaps the other one.
Final thing on last year, because I think this has been ignored because of the magnitude of the upset. Before the NCAA tournament, DeAndre Hunter, who was averaging just under 10 points a game in your final 10 games of the year, went out with a wrist injury. And I feel like that kind of got to be a forgotten storyline after the game against UMBC. I'm curious, though, what was your staff's internal feeling about your team without DeAndre heading into the NCAA tournament, knowing that he wasn't going to be available, and how that would affect your team?
Yeah, no, he's – well, there's one silver lining in some ways. There's more than one, but he's back. So that's a good thing. He's a heck of a player. We always, you know, you have to play against teams that, you know, if you get to the NCAA tournament, or certain teams as the way the game's progressing, that are four-guard teams, even five-guard teams. And I think DeAndre, we really were comfortable when we'd play him either as a three-man or we play four guards, and he was the four. He enabled us to do some things that would give us stuff defensively that made us effective, and then offensively he's just a terrific player. So we knew that was going to be – it's always a challenge when you get to that NCAA tournament. The way the game is certainly I think it's the margin for – or separation is closing. But he was a key in that. There's no question. But you know what? Like I said, that's I'll never run from the success we had, nor the loss we had. That is what it is, and you kind of step to it. You look at it and say, what can we do with it? How can we grow? And let's get on to this year and see where that leaves us.
And DeAndre is fully cleared and all ready to go?
Yeah, he's been – that was middle of the summer, so that, again, was for him, we did the right thing. But he's all good, and I think he's poised to have a nice, real nice season.
Well, then let's move forward to this season. And, look, you've had a lot of great teams at Virginia, but looking right now on paper at what you return on the perimeter with DeAndre Hunter, with Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy – you see firepower right now offensively that, you know, you haven't maybe necessarily had at the 1, 2, and 3 over the last half decade. Does this perimeter have a chance to be the most explosive perimeter you've had as head coach of Virginia?
Well, I think right now you got London Fuentes and Joe Harris and Malcolm Brogdon and Justin Anderson saying, wait a second, those guys are, you know, in the NBA, and some have signed second and third year deals, are special players. Those guys were really good. To say who's better, I don't know. But when you talk about Ty and Kyle and DeAndre, those are three very good players. There's some versatility, you know, offensively speaking. Certainly there's some real good stuff. But to say they're the best we've ever had, they're right up there, but you know, they still have some stuff to prove, but I love coaching them, and they've been a joy. And again, those guys are important. We got Jack Salt returning and Momedy, and then some other guys who aren't as proven. So our depth is, or other guys are, there's talent there, but they're just don't have as much experience.
You know, to me, for a long time, Isaiah Wilkins was like a great rug that made a room. He just brought everything together. Who fills that role vacated by him that was really so pivotal and unsung, I think, you know, in a lot of different ways over the last couple of years, as the guy who kind of fills the mortar between the bricks?
Yeah, now, well said. Isaiah, he was such a great, one of the best team defensive players I've ever seen, and he was rewarded for that by the ACC. But and Devin Hall, what they were is incredible leaders who had, you know, one was in our system for 5 years, Devin a redshirt, and Isaiah, great leaders. But they understood, played in so many games. So you lose that leadership and that experience. I think, you know, Ty Jerome is a natural leader, and those guys, those three guys we mentioned who have a lot of experience, have to certainly step up. Jack is a leader. I think Momedy is, you know, he's kind of an X factor for us in a good way. He'll hopefully step into that. And then again, there's a number of other guys, Jay Huff, Marco Anthony, and different guys that'll have to step in there. But Momedy, I think when you know, naturally positionally, that's where Isaiah steps out, and Momedy has to be, you know, one of those guys who's ready to go.
It's very difficult sometimes to crack the Virginia rotation as a newcomer because you have such seasoned older teams. Which newcomer do you think could make the biggest impact for Virginia this season?
Well, we're going to have some of them for sure. You know, our first year's Francesco Badocchi, he redshirted last year, a guy from Italy. He's kind of a 6'7", 6'8", athletic forward. And then Marco Anthony didn't play a lot. He's going into his second year, so there'll be an opportunity there. And then our two first years are Kihei Clark, and he's a point guard type, so he'll have an opportunity. And Cody Statman's, from Australia, 6'7", wing. And all of them may have to be ready to help. They really, and I didn't mention Jay Huff, but Jay's going into his third year. I think Jay is another X factor type of guy. So all those guys are going to have to be ready. And though the experience isn't great, there's some ability there. And I think no matter what, in time, they're going to progress nicely. It's just a matter of how soon and who's the most ready.
Virginia head coach Tony Bennett joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. The ACC is not going to 20 games until next season, but it is lingering. You know, scheduling has always, you know, to me been the second most important part of the job, probably after recruiting. But does it almost feel like that this gauntlet is lingering a year from now and the scheduling aspect is kind of going to run itself because you have so many games spoken for?
Yeah, well, you know, you have the ACC Big Ten Challenge. You got to determine if you're going to play, which most everyone does in these you know, holiday tournaments, whether it's a Christmas or a Thanksgiving or preseason NIT. So you start adding that, it does tighten it. You have to think. You're really going to have to think what you want to do with those other games. And, you know, 18's a lot. The competition's good. Most of us try to play good non-conference games. We're at South Carolina this year. So there's just a lot of games. So, yeah, I guess that will take a little more of the scheduling piece out of it, though. You got to think about the other ones because, boy, you can schedule yourself into a tough spot if you're not careful. But again, you still want to be prepared, playing good competition. So I don't know what exactly our philosophy will be exactly when you add two more games, but certainly we'll consider it.
Well, Tony, you look right now at obviously your team. You know, we've talked about what you have back on the perimeter. You also have role guys ready to step in. You've been so successful in the ACC the last half decade. For you and your staff, when you look forward right now and you see the team you're about to coach, what do you think are the biggest keys to being in a similar position you were on Selection Sunday last March?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's some unproven stuff. As I mentioned, we know the guys that are proven, and they're going to have to, you know, again, play at a high level. Maybe the guys that we don't know about, where's the depth going to come from, you know, who's going to step up. That's always an exciting and uncertain time when you don't know who's really going to adjust well and be able to help us. But I think that those other guys I mentioned, we know about the guys with their stats who are coming back, but all those other players who can give us a nice lift. And I think just going at it and, you know, you're going to have to be freed up to go after some hard things, the competition in the non-conference, the conference. You're going to have to certainly deal with people bringing up, you know, the loss last year. You're a new team. So I think there's a lot of excitement and a lot of great challenges and opportunities in front of us. And again, hopefully we'll show that, but I do like this group. And I think, you know, they're ready to embrace the challenge and we'll see what happens.
Final thing, I know that, you know, November and obviously December are, you know, peak times for the start of college basketball in the non-conference. You're playing a lot of big games, but will you take the team to see Creed 2 as kind of a bonding type thing?
You're dang right. I've got, you're going to laugh. I've got a couple, well, I got my Rocky poster in there, but when that comes out, they'll probably all, we'll try to do it as a team, but we'll all see it, trust me, and probably more than once. If it's as good as the first one, what's your take? Is it going to be as good as the first one?
You know, I thought that the trailer just gave you wanting so much more. Like, you watch the trailer and you're just ready to see something extended. So, I mean, I'm going in cautiously optimistic.
You know, Rocky 1 was terrific. Rocky 2, the fight scene was good. When Adrian went into the coma, it got a little slow and a little long. As Mickey said, you know, remember she came out of the coma in Rocky 2 and she looked at Rocky and she said, just win. And then Mickey, the trainer, said, well, what the hell are we waiting for? And then they started training. And then the movie picked up. So I'm hoping that there's not that slowdown thing in Creed 2. That Rocky 2 had that stretch where we needed a little more action. I don't know if you agree with that.
No, I definitely think that it got slow. Yeah, I thought 3 had great pace. It felt like in 3 something was always happening.
Well, Clubber Lane, yeah. And I tell you what, Rocky 4, when the Russian got cut, you know, that was a big moment in that fight. The Russian's been cut, the blood count, and then Rocky took it to another level. So there's some good stuff going on.
No question. Well, Tony, you know, thanks for your time. I know you're really busy. You know, congratulations on a great run, you know, thus far at Virginia, especially the last half decade. Stay healthy, and good luck in the start of practice, and look forward to staying in touch along the way.
You got it, John. Always good to catch up.
We'd like to thank Virginia head coach Tony Bennett for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And a reminder that the College Hoops Today podcast is being brought to you by Lightstream. Have you ever looked at your credit card statement and been shocked by the interest rate? Did you know you could actually roll all of your credit card debt into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate? Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.89% APR with AutoPay. Get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and you can even get your funds as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserves a great interest rate and no fees. Fun fact, Lightstream plants a tree with every loan they fund. My listeners will get a special discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/hoops. Lightstream, LIGHTSTREAM.com/hoops. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.50 auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/hoops for more information. Also want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question right now comes from Bud Hebel, and it's, John, why is Villanova's preseason ranking so high after losing four players? Well, Bud, it's simple. Jay Wright has built a program that reflects the best culture in college basketball. And this is going to be a year where Villanova wins the Big East. They may win the Big East at 12-6 or 13-5. But for all intents and purposes, because of the culture in that program, Villanova, you have to give the benefit out and make them a top 11 or 12 team in the country. Our next question is going to come from Anthony Calby, and it's, John, who wins the Atlantic 10 this year? St. Louis has overwhelming talent in the Atlantic 10. I see major jumps for Hassan French and Jordan Goodwin as sophomores. Cartier Gordon was a top 75 recruit nationally. I think St. Louis is the team to beat in terms of overall talent, but I was very impressed with the chemistry, the role allocation, everything I saw when I went to a St. Joe's practice a couple of weeks ago. If you're looking for a guy right now, off the radar nationally, who could emerge as an absolute star in 18-19, it's Charlie Brown, the 6'6 wing for St. Joe's. Missed all of last season with a wrist injury. More advanced right now than DeAndre Bembry was offensively when he played at St. Joe's. And our final question we're going to take is from Aaron Yadnitz. John, what are Miami's chances in the ACC this year? Miami, to me, Aaron, is a middle-of-the-pack ACC team. You've got a great coach in Jim Larrañaga. You're solid at one with Chris Likes. You're solid at five with DeJuan Huell. Everything in between, to me, is a little bit of a question when you look at the Hurricanes. That's how I'm evaluating Miami, a middle-of-the-pack ACC team. Now, before we get to five good nuggets, did you know there's a quick way you could save money? Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance, and Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com. Now that we got you all set with Geico, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, an All-American dark horse. And I'm talking about Boston College's Kai Bowman. I went to BC practice last week, was dazzled by Bowman's athletic ability, tremendous velocity on his passes with either hand. My final assessment of the Eagles, Jim Christian can't replace Jerome Robinson, who was a lottery pick with one man, but four starters are back. Two impact freshmen made an impact in practice when I watched them. Also watched some tape on them, Winston Tabbs and Jarius Hamilton. Eagles, like we're just talking about with Miami, a dog in the ACC fight, middle of the pack ACC team. Nugget number two, gifts
from God. Rhode Island freshman Jermaine Harris is the most physically imposing big man in the Atlantic 10 since Mo Ali Cox was at VCU. Remember, David Cox beat out Xavier in West Virginia for this kid. Another thing that impressed me about Jermaine Harris in practice last week at the Ryan Center, his ability to shoot the basketball. Nugget number three, Ivy Gem. Went to see Harvard last Wednesday in Cambridge, and while I walked away from practice thinking that this is definitely the deepest team that Tommy Amaker has ever had at Harvard, the sleeper in this rotation is 6'6 freshman Noah Kirkwood. Built like a defensive end, Tommy Amaker told me he reminds him of Denzel Valentine. Nugget number four, loading up. Add Mike Hopkins from Washington to the list of head coaches embracing non-conference scheduling. Washington added a neutral site game at Minnesota, against Minnesota to their non-conference schedule last week. They'll play that game in Vancouver. They're also going to have a neutral site game in Atlantic City against Virginia Tech. They're going to play on the road at Gonzaga and Auburn, and they also host Western Kentucky and Seattle. That is a head coach that understands scheduling. Washington is not going to be in a situation where it is going to miss the NCAA tournament if the Pac-12 is not as good as people hope it is out west. Washington has several quad one opportunities in November and December. And nugget number five, I'm back on the road again this week. I'm going to go to Seton Hall, Houston, Texas. Also stop and see Rice real quick as we continue to count down towards the start of the 18-19 season. There will be college basketball, folks, in about 7 weeks from right now. We'd like to thank Virginia head coach Tony Bennett for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.